Hey, welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is May 19th, 2014, and with me today I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Brian Chaffin. Hey, Brian.
The inaugural episode.
The inaugural episode. Somehow we managed to get all three of us together at the same time on the same system. And we haven't crossed the streams.
Nope.
And not only did we do that, we're planning to do this or something very similar to it every weekday from now going forward.
Is that what daily means?
It is. It doesn't mean weekends, I'm told.
Yeah. And Brian, I totally understand why you would be confused considering how we scheduled our shows for ACM for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for everybody to know, Jeff, that you won't always have Brian and I on with you. You will occasionally have, in fact, regularly have other people. Tell them about that, then we'll get into what this show actually is.
Yeah, actually, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, so the idea is we're going to talk every day for a few minutes about different topics that we're finding to be interesting. And you never know who I'll be bringing on to do this with me. Today it just so happens to be Dave and Brian, and I can understand why I would start with you guys, because it's the musical qualities of your voices just cannot be surpassed.
Heavenly. Yeah,
heavenly.
Dulcet.
Yes, that I was thinking about going all the way to dulcet, but I figured that's like going to 11.
Oh, that's what we do. That's how it works
all the time.
Speaking of 11, can I start the first story, Jeff?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So last week on Thursday, but really this all happened on Friday, but on Thursday, Apple released iTunes 11.2 along with some other updates, including OS 10, 10.9.3. And then later on Thursday, and then certainly on Friday, we all began, and I say all, I mean many Mac users, many readers, many listeners, and us started noticing that our users folders were no longer visible. Thankfully, they weren't deleted. They just weren't visible in the Finder anymore. This was not something that that was necessarily a new paradigm to us. It was for the users folder. But years ago, with an OS update, Apple hid our library folders from within our user folder. And that was an intentional thing, being something that hides the inner workings of the system, essentially hiding things from you that you might have broken if you had the means to get in there. And they didn't keep them locked out. They just hid them from view. If you knew how to get there, then no problem. You could still get in. And that was true of the users folder. So the initial assumption was, the OS 10, 10.9.3 update did this. And so this is Apple's new paradigm. They're hiding us and keeping us from going after other users' directories and mucking about with things that might mess things up.
And that's exactly what I thought was happening.
We all did. It's a reasonable assumption. Now, it's a little weird that they would do this without saying it, but, you know, it's Apple, right?
It's Apple.
Yeah. And then we realized, but not everybody that installed 10.9.3 had this problem. Only some people did. And we dug and we dug. And then we did a lot of isolation testing here in the TMO towers and narrowed it down to the fact that it had nothing to do with 10.9.3. In fact, it would happen to you on 10.9.2 if you had installed iTunes 11.2 and if you had Find My Mac installed. And as it turns out, not only did it hide your users and users' shared folders from you, but it also changed the permissions on them to be world writable. This means that any user on your Mac could write to either of those folders. That's not horrible, because...
But it's not great.
It's not great. But it's not the it didn't make your user folder world writable. It just made the top level users folder world writable. Again, not horrible, but a little weird that this would happen. And then on Friday night, late Friday night, Apple issued iTunes 11.2.1, which undid this problem and fixed the permissions and made them visible even with Find My Mac enabled and restored us to the functionality that we thought we would have had with iTunes 11.2, which was all the enhanced podcast stuff and nothing more, no bonus hiding.
Now, Dave, the part that I thought was really fascinating was when you brought up that Apple is using an application update to change parts of the system, in essence.
That's the part that bothers me about this. And not only did it happen once, it happened twice. Now, granted, the second time was to fix the first time, but I will venture to say that never once, certainly not twice, should an update to iTunes or any application be allowed to muck about or expected to muck about with other things in the system. And I don't like that it happened once accidentally, clearly accidentally, given the timing of the patch or the update. And then it happened intentionally. What are we supposed to trust Apple for? OS updates, sure. It was reasonable to assume that this happened because of the OS update, because we never would expect iTunes to do this. But the next time an iTunes update comes, we're all going to be really gun-shy. And what does this mean about a Pages update? What does it mean about a GarageBand update? I mean, what's going on here? That's something that I think our own John Martellaro is going to explore a little bit today. But
that's
where
it is, Alan.
It is. Yeah. It worries me, though.
And I'm worried, too. I am now going to be gun-shy of every Apple app update that comes out for my Mac.
They've trained us not to trust them. That's bad.
But they haven't trained us. They've given us cause to think about it. Training is doing it two or three or four times. Right?
Yes.
Doing it once.
Well, they did it twice. To be fair, they did it twice.
Yes.
No, but that's not fair because the second one was a correction. The first one was doing something it shouldn't, so they had to fix it. So how else were they going to do it?
Issue a security update for OS 10.
There you go. I'm with you on that, Dave.
What if the way iTunes is interacting with something was affected by these changes?
Then a security update should patch that. It just sends absolutely the wrong message to say we're going to fix these problems or we're going to cause and or fix these. iTunes update should never go outside the box of iTunes.
No, I get you. I'm totally there with you. I'm totally with you there. That's what I'm trying to say. But we don't have a pattern here. We have something that is in fact discussable because it is so unique. So if they do it again, I'll jump on the bandwagon and say that Apple is just completely out of its mind on this stuff. But it's something to consider. But I don't think that we've been trained. I don't think we're seeing a pattern here. I certainly hope not.
Well, here's my concern that I see out of this. They did something in iTunes that created a system level problem, and Apple's logic to correct a system level problem was not to issue a system patch, but to issue an iTunes update.
And to Brian's point, technically speaking, it may have been that there was some code in iTunes, as opposed to the iTunes updater going and doing something it shouldn't have, that iTunes was doing something it shouldn't have. Now, it did this at every reboot, so I'm reserving giving Apple a pass on this until we know and may never really know exactly where the flaw was or the issue was. But to your point, Brian, it may have been far less possible to fix this with anything but an iTunes update.
But one thing's for certain, we're all going to be looking, at least. We're going to be looking for trouble.
Yep. Of course we are. But not trouble. We're going to be looking for, making sure our systems remain stable.
Yes.
Overrated.
Yeah. System What's stability, that? It's overrated.
Yeah. I kid.
I just, when we type in my problem is anytime that dialogue comes up that says you need to authenticate to do this, what you're saying is I'm trusting whatever this installer is for whatever application, Apple or somebody else, to go out and make wholesale changes to my system as root, right? As the administrator, as the all-powerful user on the system. And there's a lot of trust that comes with that. What the heck is iTunes doing where this accident even happened? What are we allowing iTunes to do?
And to be to be very fair, actually, to be clear, a big part of why we accept Apple's constant meddling in our business is because we like the walled garden approach, right? Most of us here,
right, sure,
have decided that Apple's, you know, walled garden, curated garden, whatever you want to call it, that approach is the better approach for us. And if they abuse that trust, it will become a problem.
Yes, where we are right now, we have gone from me assuming Apple is always bringing pretty flowers into my garden to me being wary that occasionally they might plant a weed.
All right, that's a fine analogy.
Awesome. And that's a fine place to end this one, I think.
Yeah,
I think
what I was thinking.
I can't top flowers.
No, no, you really can't. But you wrote a piece on Friday, Brian, about Apple and Motorola Mobility settling their differences, so to speak.
Yeah, and so a lot of the mainstream coverage was focusing on Apple and Google and Apple is the way I want to emphasize that, are settling their patent disputes. But in reality, Google per se and Apple didn't have any open patent disputes. As a matter of fact, we have all been assuming, and I think this includes both Apple haters and Apple fans and the neutral observers too, that Apple was intending to eventually go after Google, but the reality is that Apple had not. And now we have Motorola and Apple settling all existing patent disputes with the caveat that there is no cross-licensing deal.
So is thermonuclear war still possible, Brian?
Well, I don't know, because this morning, it doesn't sound like it, but then this morning Jeff wrote about a rumor coming out of Korea that Samsung and Apple have also renewed settlement talks.
And that's pretty fascinating, considering how vehemently they have fought each other over patents around the world.
Yeah, and how upset Steve Jobs was about what he perceived as Google's wholesale copying of iOS with Android.
So is this a case where Tim Cook is sitting back and looking at what's happening and saying, wow, we can continue to go thermonuclear, but eventually all we will achieve is mutually assured destruction?
Yeah, it seems like that could be happening. Assuming this rumor coming out of Korea is true, and really if it's coming out of Korea, it's probably in some way or another stemming from Samsung. Samsung has the most to gain from Apple no longer going after it for patent infringement. And, of course, you know, Apple doesn't tend to do contrived leaks for this sort of thing in the first place. So I think it's a safe bet that, and it's pure speculation, that this rumor is coming out of Samsung.
If so, maybe this fits well with Samsung's track record where they copy and then let the litigation process happen while they stall and continue to do whatever it is that they want to do. And then eventually when they see the value in settling, then they finally do that. Maybe we're at that phase for Samsung now.
Yeah, Samsung, no, I don't think so. In that Samsung is nowhere near that point. The even if they pay every penny that the juries have awarded Apple, it is a minor cost of business for the profits they have been able to derive from that initial copying.
Yeah, and that's a cheap license.
Really cheap license, especially since Apple wouldn't have ever given that license in the first place.
Yeah, it's a cheap license that was not for sale. That was not for sale.
So it's really a bargain.
And keep in mind too that the thing that has always gotten, according to that Vanity Fair profile that we have looked at on other shows, the thing that has gotten Samsung to settle with the people, with the companies that they have copied in the past, has been an injunction, a sales ban, an import ban.
Right.
Okay. And that's nowhere in the cards, thanks to Judge Lucy Koh and her bizarre treatment of this entire thing.
Yep. Well, then that tells me that this would most likely be posturing. Because Samsung can assume that the talks will fail. And now in their next case, they can say, look, we approached Apple, and we went in with good faith trying to reach a settlement with them, and it just couldn't happen.
Yeah, but then again, getting back to this Motorola case, if Apple is looking to end its crusade, its legal crusade against the Android community, the Android ecosystem, well, then it may be a legit rumor, maybe a legit leak.
Yes, that's true. And
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. That's the big thing. And unless Apple or Samsung issues some sort of official statement, it's all speculation right now.
Yeah.
But interesting speculation.
But interesting speculation, yeah. You know, it's this has been, you know, and a lot of our readers are very invested in the notion of Apple beating Android and proving to the world that it was copied.
Yeah, I think in the long run, that's not how this is going to play out. Which is not to say that I don't think Samsung is copying. Just I don't think the system is going to work in such a way that Apple can definitively prove and just walk away from all this, drop the microphone on stage and say, yeah, Samsung copied us.
Yeah. Well, they could probably say that at this point. I mean, you know, they have gotten some fairly convincing wins in court.
They have, but
will we see a Samsung start your copiers in a month at WWDC, or less than a month, a couple of weeks?
That would be really funny if they did that.
Mm-hmm. They have every right to.
I kind of hope they do, actually.
Yeah. We shall see.
We shall see.
All right. Well, that was awesome. I'm really glad you guys were on for our first show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, thank you for being here.
And thanks for having us.
And thanks, folks, for listening.
Yeah, this is great. All right. We'll have to do this again, real soon.
Tomorrow.
Maybe even tomorrow. That's right.